Blog Talk Radio.
Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Singing. Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. I'm your host, Ronald Bethay, and you know if you join us on a regular basis, you know the slogan for this show: if there's power in numbers, then the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative LLC captures that power for your financial benefit. The Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative LLC serves as an economic blueprint for self-reliance for solar and renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for African-American-owned solar installation, design, workforce development training, EV, EV manufacturing, and other renewable energy companies that are African-American owned to address the high effects of at our historically Black colleges and universities to utilize African-American owned farmlands and HBCU campuses to develop capacity and initiative for solar installation projects to bring down the under and underemployment of African-American young men and women locally and nationally, also to educate the African-American community locally and nationally about the economic impacts of climate change and the need for environmental education in the African-American community through Black Talk radio programs such as Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. This show is also brought to you every week by the Black Sports Legends Foundation, BSLF HBCU Solar Radio Talk Show Initiative, and you can get more information on that initiative by logging on to our website at POSITIVECHANGE, P as in Paul, C as in Cat, that's PositiveChangePC.com, and you'll be able to scroll right over to our GoFundMe link on our webpage, and you can get more information about this BSLF HBCU Solar Radio Talk Show Initiative, which you're listening to this initiative over the World Wide Web, over the platform of Blog Talk Radio. We are streaming via iTunes, Facebook, Twitter, and Link, and we can also be heard over iTunes and many other forms of social media. Ladies and gentlemen, this show is also brought to you every week by the National Association of Blacks and Solar, and you can get more information on that by logging on to blacksandsolar.org. Welcome, welcome those who join us on a regular basis. You know the call-in number for this show is 646-668-2948. Once again, our call-in number is 646-668-2948. Now, we don't have a scheduled guest for today's show, but as we normally do, we sit back and we try to find some interesting topics and platforms that we want to discuss with you. But once again, if you want to join us, remember after you dial that call-in number, you have to press 1 on your phone pad after dialing our call-in number, 646-668-2948, because you'll be in our green room and we want to bring you right on into the living room and set you down and have a very, very intelligent discussion about what's going on in the world as it relates to solar and renewable energy and the impact that is having right now on the world stage. And if we're watching on what's going on in Ukraine and we're paying very, very close attention to what has taken place, people don't really understand what this is about. This is about who will control the nuclear power plants and the energy resources coming out of Russia. When it's all said and done, that's the bottom line, because without energy, you have no war. Without energy, you have no tanks moving into Ukraine or anywhere else. Without the fossil fuels, the gas and oil, to make a war happen. So when we begin to drill down and look at what's happening from a local and national standpoint, we will find that the fossil fuel industry, as their hands, and it's not even a hidden hand, people are hollering now, crank up more oil production. Well, the issue is not whether they have the oil. The issue is how you're going to refine it and get it to the locations around this country to keep 340 million people moving and living every day on a day-to-day basis across 50 states called the United States of America. Now, people better start paying real attention to what's going on. The pain is not at the pump, just at the pump. It's at every facet of life, because energy, as I always say and have been repeating on this show, everything starts with energy, everything ends with energy. So we're going to look at some of the other issues in the energy industry as we begin to look at EPA's new move, as they look at EPA's new product plant plans for carbon. Because one of the major problems that we have across this country is we, as African Americans, live in areas that have been disproportionately burdened by the building of large-scale manufacturing and energy production plants where we physically live. Now, the NAACP Legal Defense Fund has done, a legal justice group have done tremendous studies as it relates to this. But we have a new appointment through the Biden administration. His name is Michael Reagan. He happens to be African American, so I don't know whether his ancestors were affiliated on the plantation with Ronald Reagan's folks as overseers or the plantation owners, but he has the same last name. His name is Michael Reagan, and he's a North Carolina A&T alumnus. So you always got to go out and holler for the Aggies. So this is a part of the Aggie Pride Plan. EPA Administrator Michael Reagan, speaking in Washington last month, he unveiled a plan yesterday to reduce greenhouse gas emissions from power plants. Anna Moneymaker, Houston, EPA unveils plans yesterday for regulating the power sector with greenhouse gas rules in a supporting role to limit on conventional pollution. describing his agency's regulatory blueprint as a CREA week by SPA Global Conference here. EPA Administrator Michael Reagan argued that regulations that would be rolled out in the coming year for the Mercy Zone, ozone, water, and coal ash would help finish the job of curbing climate pollutants that make conditions started by shifting U.S. power generation away from high-emitting coal. Point, Reagan says, EPA is previewing its regulatory plans in a broad, swift, instead of staggering their release by statutory deadlines. The industry gets to take a look at the suit of rules all at once and say, is it worth doubling down on investment in the current facility or operation? Or should we look at the cost and say, no, it's time to pivot and invest in a clean energy future? Reagan told reporters after his keynote address, if some of these facilities decide it's worth investing in control technologies and you get an expedited retirement, that's the best tool for reducing greenhouse gas emissions, he added. Asked whether he was concerned about the challenge to EPA Greenhouse Gas Authority now before the Supreme Court could deal a blow to the agency's climate ambitions, Reagan pointed to the progress that could be made under the Clean Air Act and Clean Water Act rules. I don't believe we have to overly rely on any regulations, he said. EPA can still achieve greenhouse gas reductions using regulations on MRSI and other toxic air pollutants and other fine particles and other types of pollutants like coal ash and water-based emissions, he said. The coal industry should find little to applaud in Reagan's strategy or his remarks to the energy conference, in which he described coal power as an aging technology that is simply unable to compete with newer technologies that are coming currently market investments. Now, he's talking about the impact that solar is having as it relates to putting renewable energies. Solar is the cheapest form of renewables, and nobody can compete with that because it is a natural given gift from the sun and nature. Now, EPA can expect pushback from coal champions in Congress. Senate Environment and Public Works Ranking Member Sheely Moore Capo has already asked EPA for an accounting of its power plan based on reporting to ENE News and other sources, which her office said she has not received. The West Virginia Republican has accused EPA of using rules that target other pollutants as a workaround in case of the court's rule that the strict carbon standards are legally out of bounds. And yesterday, Capitol blasted Reagan for using the crew week as a backdrop to make this announcement. Executives paid $8,500 to attend the crew next week, the senator said in a Twitter post. I guess that's the cost of finding out what EPA's plans are. Now, what do you expect? She's from West Virginia, man. But the power sector itself is keeping its powder dry. But the power sector, powder dry. Investor-owner utilities are not part of the West Virginia and EPA and landmark court case now before the Supreme Court that could result in the decision in June that would limit EPA's ability to regulate the power sector of carbon. Now, you have a piece called The Climate Wire, and there's a specific article there that you want to click on and look into that. And the Edison Electric Institute, the industry trade group, filed a brief expressing concerns that too sweeping a decision by the courts would lead to an onslaught of unintended consequences, including tort cases brought by states and other plaintiffs aimed at shutting down individual power plants. Tort suits are not a regime that would allow investment decisions. Emily Fisher, General Counsel and EEI, said a virtual briefing Wednesday hosted by Our Energy Policy. Stafford Fisher said at the briefing that no CO2 rules has in fact caused the closing of coal-fired plants ahead of schedule in the past, which utilities judged that to be more cost-effective than retrofitting them than emission control technology. The Obama-era mercy rule led to the retirement of a third of the nation's coal fleet, she said, substantially changing the sector's investment portfolio. And a Trump-era water rule allowed utilities to opt out to commit to take coal plants offline by 2028 to avoid expensive compliance measures, a deal several of the members have taken and that has led to early shutdowns. But Sanford Fisher said regulations provided important flexibility, then they offered utilities the option to retire the plants on schedule rather than requiring them to invest costly upgrades as a condition of operating aging units terms to ensure a reliable power supply. You don't want to drive someone to take investment in a unit that would otherwise be slated for closure, she said, adding that that might extend the life of the plant while the utility recoups its costs. Political calculus. While retirements may deliver the bulk of greenhouse gas emission cuts, EPA does plans to propose carbon rules for new existing fossil fuel power plants later this year. Reagan said yesterday that EPA was taking a fresh look at our options when crafting the two rules. The Supreme Court decision is this summer is likely to bar EPA from implementing something like the Obama-era Clean Air Plan, the 2015 rule that would have accomplished reductions through trading and fuel switching. But Sanford Fisher said that the Biden's focus on environmental justice concerns would have made emissions trading a unlikely policy option anyway, because it has historically concentrated pollution sources in economically and racially disadvantaged communities to offset the carbon reductions elsewhere. I do tend to think that EPA will require the position to do another rule that they might be more focused on some of these things that could happen at specific units and within a set of units that are closely located and not really look at the generation shifting, he said. But I think that's more a political calculus than a technological or statutory calculation at this point. Before EPA formally proposed rules for new power carbon, Reagan said the agency has released a white paper soliciting comments from how natural gas combustion turbines can reduce their carbon output. While coal plants have shut down in recent years, gas plants have proliferated, and most projections show that substantial gas-powered power will remain online through 2050 and beyond, even as the U.S. and the world are due to achieving important decarbonization milestones. Reagan said the paper's goal was to be a framework for the public dialogue ahead of the purpose of rules for this year's targeting gas-fired power plants. The Obama era for the new rule power plants carbon, which is still on the books, demands that coal-fired power plants use partial carbon capture as storage for CCS technologies to limit emissions, but it asks natural gas combustion plants to meet standards roughly of 1,000 pounds of carbon dioxide per megawatt hour, which is effectively business as usual. Experts say that the policy decisions around how to reduce emissions from gas-fired power through regulations is still the relative early stages. While CCS for coal can be costly and there can be geometrical barriers to storing carbon in some places, there are added technology changes to adding carbon capture to natural gas plants, as gas plants will be needed to provide backup capacity when power grids include a much higher share of renewable than it now does. We need more gas capacity even than we have, but we need to use it less, said Steve Kornacki, founder of Strategies for Clean Energy Innovation. We don't need it to generate electricity when there's lots of wind and sunshine, and all these batteries are charged, but they are need a lot of it, or more than we have now during these fuel but extended periods when it's not windy or sunny, and when all batteries are discharged. He's talking about the time. Carnacki said he hoped that EPA would think about the role gas plants would need to play in the future. Low carbon grids, not simply about their emissions. Now, I've read the whole article today because I don't have a scheduled guest for this show. And as you can see, this is a quite lengthy article that we have just finished reading for you, our listening audience out there. And if you have any questions about any of that, you can log on to Positive Change and you'll be able to see this picture of Michael Regan, the new appointed head of EPA, what EPA's new power plant plans mean for carbon. And you can read it for yourself. There are a number of links that are in the article. One of these links is called the Climate Wire, and if you click on this March 10th, it says air quality protections and restoration for 16 others. Why utilities don't join the Supreme Court case against EPA. The power sector is on the sidelines as Republican attorneys general wage a legal battle to unwind EPA's climate authority to make marks as reversal from previous court fights. And this is what we're dealing with. You're talking about climate change, okay? And there's a house that's sitting right in front of a nuclear power plant, and people got to breathe that, okay? Climate water. Power plants aren't supporting Republicans-led fight in the Supreme Court against EPA's climate authority. Coal-heavy utilities in years past filled court dockets with brief warning that the Obama-era clean energy plan would hamstring their ability to provide reliable power and open Pandora's box on erroneous regulations to stifle economic growth. But they are now voluntarily shedding out a case that seeks to ensure that they never face a similar rule in the future. Now, what's interesting about this article, it talks about climate water, and this is a very short article, that's sort of embedded inside of this article. But you'll find that when you begin to read these other links, it's so, and then put together and ask you, why is cancer so pervasive in the United States of America, in the what we would call the highest industrialized society known to man, which is called the U.S. economy, okay, which is impacts the world. And it was very, very interesting on yesterday that we were able to look at and participate in the National Environmental Justice Community Engagement Call. And this call was conversation working for environmental justice. Now, this was put on by EPA, and there is a list. The purpose of these calls is to inform the public of EPA's environmental justice work and enhance opportunities to maintain an open dialogue with environmental justice advocates. The calls first began in 2010 and were a valuable tool for EPA to learn about environmental justice needs in communities around the country. The Biden-Harris administration has placed environmental justice at the center of their national agenda. The agency is relaunching these calls as the first step to reestablishing meaningful and engaging participation in community groups and the public. This direct dialogue will strengthen integration of EJ into all that we do as we pursue achieving meaningful improvements on the grounds for communities. Due to limited space participation, these calls will be first come, first served. I was on one yesterday, yours truly, and I must say that it was very, very informative because what they did, they unveiled the basic calls. Now, you'll be able to see the February recording if you're interested in doing that. Yesterday was the 15th, so they have not listed the March webinar that was held on yesterday. The meeting materials of February the 17th, 2021, which was last year. Let me stroll down and see if they have this call listed for this year as we began to stroll down and look at everything that's been done. There have been quite a few calls, December, and these things have been held every month. Okay, February 2022 is the last meeting. And there's a recording there. I'm just clicking on that for example.
Welcome, everybody, to the today's EPA National Environmental Justice Community Engagement Call. So glad to see that all of you are able to join. We are going to start in one quick moment, but I wanted to make sure that you know that we see you here.
Now, this is the February 22nd, 2020. Community and just engagement call. The call on yesterday dealt with the EPA's new website, and I'm quite sure that they will be posting this very, very shortly. But it basically gave a breakdown on all of your manufacturing facilities across the United States that manufacture different kind of chemicals that we use every day in products and goods and services that are put on shelves. Because, and one of these things are plastics, and plastics put out very highly toxic chemicals. And one of the things that was just talked about was the fact, based on the NAACP Environmental Justice Study, which was recently released several years back, it talked about within a 35-mile radius of any African-American community or community of communities of color around the United States of America, you will find a coal-fired power plant which is putting these poisonous toxins in the air. And this specific new site that they have at EPA breaks down what those toxins are, what the emissions are, what problems they've had at these different plants, what will is the impact on your specific environment based on state and your geographic location in that state, shows you what your chances are of contracting cancer from breathing the air from these plants. And it has all this data there. So as I looked at this study, I said, well, this is quite interesting. So I raised my hand and raised the question. And my question was, how is this data used by the insurance companies that sell what we call life insurance? But if you've been an underwriter in the industry, we know it as death insurance for people who take it out while they're living to leave something for their heirs. Your rates are set up based on your zip code, based on the census tract. So when we begin to look at our census tract, this also has something to do about property values. It also impacts on your real estate costs and where you are, the value of the community that you live in, and the impact of the air quality and water quality in your specific area that you live. So my question was, how is this data used by these industries that insure people's homes, that provide insurances, whether it be mortgage insurances, whether it be to pay off a mortgage if a person dies? You got to have not only mortgage insurance, but you got to have insurance in order to pay off the balance of the mortgage on your home. How does this data impact what those rates are that the insurance companies are allowed to charge? That was my question. And, of course, the young man who was answering my question, I thought he joined the Temptations and the Pips because he got to dancing around what I asked, and he talked about everything but addressing the question. So as you may hear, I'm going to come back to and play a little bit of the February 22nd EPA Environmental Justice Community Engagement call on the other side, but we're going to take a slight pause for the cause here on Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And remember, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. Once again, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. And we're going to talk about EDA's impact from the Economic Development Administration before we go off the air today. But right now, we're going to take a slight pause for the cause here on Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America.
Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? You hold the key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't on singing. I can tell. Sing it. Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing. I got you. Sing it.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, back to the airways of Soul and Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. I'm your host, Ronald Bethay, and you know if you join us on a regular basis, the slogan for this show is there's power in numbers, then the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative captures that power for your financial benefit. The Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, LLC, serves as an economic blueprint for solar and renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for African-American-owned solar installation, design, workforce development, EV, EV manufacturing, and other renewable energy companies owned by African-Americans to address the effects of high energy costs at our historically Black colleges and universities, to utilize Black African-American-owned farmlands and HBCU campuses to develop capacity and initiatives for solar installation projects to bring down the underemployed numbers of young African-American men and women locally and nationally, also to educate the African-American community locally and nationally about the economic impacts of climate change and the need for environmental education in the Black community through Black talk show, radio talk show programs such as Solar Now and the Future, and let me be clear, through Black Talk podcast talk shows such as Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact, because we haven't been able to raise the capital that we need to buy the time to syndicate this show, and we've been behind this mic for almost 5 years, and to me, that's a tragedy. Tragedy. If people value the information that they're hearing coming from my mouth, okay? And that's a pet peeve that I have with my community, because we talk a good game, but when it's time to put some money up, they said put the money where your mouth is, you find more mouth than you do money. And I can't say that that's always the case, but in a lot of cases, in this situation, I'm just going to speak for truth to power. If the brick lands on your foot, then okay, I guess you was one of the corporates in the crime, okay? And we'll leave it like that. Now, you know this show is also brought to you every week by the Black Sports Legends Foundation, BSLF HBCU Solar Radio Talk Show Initiative, and you can get more information on that initiative by logging on to our website at positivechangepc.com. You can click on our news and events tab. You can scroll right down, and you'll see the BSLF HBCU Solar Radio Talk Show Initiative, and you can get more information, and you can support this broad podcast and platform, okay? And it's also brought to you every week by the National Association of Blacks in Solar. I am, to this point, still the acting president of the National Association of Blacks in Solar, and you can get more information by logging on to BlackSinSolar, BlackSinSolar.org. Ladies and gentlemen, yes, 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 we are here every week on this platform bringing you news that we know you can use. So with that being said, you know that call-in number is 646-668-2948. Once again, our call-in number is 646-668-2948. Now, as we were talking about the EPA and we were talking about EPA's what is going on at EPA. We talked about the fact that in EPA's and what they're doing, they're getting a lot of things, trying to get a lot of things accomplished at one time. And we talked about EPA's Environmental Justice Community Engagement Call. And now I'm going to play to you some of the information that was shared in the February 22nd, 2022 engagement call, okay? And here it is.
I am going to go ahead and start with a few housekeeping interpretation. Currently, we're offering Spanish language interpretation for those who prefer to listen in Spanish. And what you'll do is if you look, pay attention on purpose in the present moment. It has been neuroscientifically backed to reduce anxiety and increase self-care. Bodies under stress also breathe high in the chest. You're undercompensated, overpaid, caring deeply for something, and maybe feeling like you're not listening to a lot of information. The body goes into what is called fight or flight mode. You tend to breathe high in your chest. So she advocated for the belly breath, and I'll share that with you, a quick 1 minute practice. But before we practice, I'd like to invite you all just to breathe in deeply into your nose, deep into your belly with me, and then breathe out through your mouth. Nice and slow at first. Lips. One more time, deep breathe in through your nostrils, into your belly, not your chest. And do pursed lips, breathe out. Nice, slow, and steady. Now we're just going to spend maybe 15 seconds doing what I call 3DD, which is three deep breaths. Now that we just practice what is not chest breathing activates the fight or flight response. We want to get really low in the belly and activate rest and digest. So we're going to take three deep breaths, in through the nose, out through the mouth, deep into the belly. So let's go into our nostrils, in. Belly should be pooching out. And then exhale through your mouth, first lift, nice and slow and steady. And then when you're ready, breathe in, nose again. Second breath. And your belly pooch out, your chest rise, your chest down. Breathe out. Your first lift. And one more. In through the nose. Keep that chest nice and low. Have your belly expand. And then first lift, breathe out. Nice, long release of air. So before you enter a space, or maybe as you enter this space, practice 3DD, and it will activate your sympathetic nervous system, which is a way to say your rest and digest system. That's system that makes you feel relaxed and ready to make positive change. And I'll end with a quote by Audre Lorde. Life is short, very short. What we have to do must be done in the now. So I'll kick it back to Matthew or Victoria.
Thank you so much for that. It's nice to reconnect with the diaphragm. The few updates for folks. I hope everyone is aware and saw that a couple of pretty big tools came out last week, one of which, of course, is the EJ Screen 2.0 tool that will be the focus of at least part of our conversation today. So this is the most significant overhaul of EJ Screen since we launched it, because this was the first time since we launched EJ Screen. Actually, this is the first time since EJ Screen was first announced, the head of EPA, that we've had both the support and the resource to engineer an update. And it was definitely due folks that were using this up until Friday. You could tell that it was a tool that was about 10 years old because like about a 10-year-old tool. Mapping has been improved and interface has evolved. So we're very happy that we still on somewhat of a two-screen budget and update the EBIT tool to make it more intuitive. So we answer a lot of requests that I'm not going to speak a great deal about that. And of course, earlier on Friday, this past Friday, the White House Council on Environmental Quality released their climate and economic justice briefing that was mandated to be created in Executive Order 14008 on tackling climate crisis and homeless fraud. That's the executive order that has the Justice 40 mandate, created the White House Environmental Justice Advisory Council, created the EJ Interagency Council, created the EJ Scorecard, which the Council on Environmental Quality is still working on. So I think folks are generally pretty happy with the fact that the tool is out there and finally available for use, inspection, application across Justice 40 or potential justice programs across the federal government. Just very briefly, want to make sure folks understand, Justice 40 is not a new pot of money. It's not even a pot of money. Not even talking about money necessarily. It's talking about the benefits of certain programs from across the federal government flowing to disadvantaged. So we're not talking about dollars. We're talking about the benefits of government activities, reductions in pollution, improvements in access, betterment of health, all sorts of benefits from what we do. So that's what we're looking at in Justice 40. Not a new pot of money. It's lots of existing programs across the federal government. It's EPA. We have six programs that are part of the pilot of Justice 40. There's going to potentially be dozens more added in over time that would be a part of Justice 40. So it's lots of already programs that are developed. And then 40% of the benefits of those programs are supposed to go to those disadvantaged. That is what the CJSP does. It defines, maps, what are the disadvantaged communities that are supposed to receive 40% of the benefits from certain federal programs. Okay, so it's really going to enable us to answer a very clear policy question. Which communities receive 40% of the benefits? Okay, so it was crafted to do a very specific. EJ Screening was crafted to do a very broad screening for environmental justice across a lot of different factors, a lot of different data, a very flexible tool that is strongly users. EJIS, for the Climate and Economic Justice Screening, is doing a very specific. I know that there's been a lot of talk and a lot of controversy about the decision by the White House Council on Environmental Quality to not include race in the climate economic justice screening tool. That's their decision. That wasn't our decision to make. That was a decision made by the White House. If folks would like to talk about that today, we're very welcome to, but there's not a lot that we can offer for folks on it, except to say, share any questions or concerns, points with the Council on Environmental Law. But we can't answer. We're going to be talking about these predictions. EJ Screen has, always will have, as long as I have anything to do with it, as long as folks like Cy Lung and Matt TV and a bunch of other folks have anything to do with it, it will always have racism. But it was crafted for a purpose, allows completely open for us using different tools for different purposes. One's created by the White House. You know, we can't speak very much to that. White House's tools. Different tools. They should, and hopefully if folks played with the both at the weekend, they should be fairly complementary to be able to see. And really one of the things I'm most excited about is with the explosion of these sorts of screening tools created at different scales across the United States, you really start to see that there's a lot of similarities, but there are some very distinct differences depending upon what data you use, how you use it. And one of the most important things for crafting these tools is to have a question, to have a very specific question that is for the purposes of engaging the of doing an analysis, of preparing for an analysis, or like the CJIS tool created in Justice 40, the allocation of government resources. Those are very we hear different purposes, different tools and different ways to find the purpose. So hopefully folks will see that more and welcome any questions or comments about the White House's climate and economic justice. We can't answer the decisions that were made to create that tool. You know, we'll share whatever insight we can, but otherwise we'll just pass it along. I also want to bring up that at the beginning, or maybe about halfway through our January national call, one of the EJ leaders that was on, Ms. Gordon from West Oakland, made a very good point that we should really be doing a lot more engagement on the ground through our region, and that those should be filtered up to the national call, but front of beginning of it, actual more on the ground. It was a very good point, made very well. Even the Elder Board would expect her to make this point very well. We have taken that to heart. We are working on that. We in the EJ program in PA still don't have any money to really do anything. We are operating in a resolution, just like most of the rest of the federal government. We didn't receive any of the resources, the infrastructure bill, all of the American Rescue Plan resources that we received last year are out the door or on the way out the door.
Ladies and gentlemen, you were just listening to the February 2020 EPA engagement call. And as of yesterday, it's very clear that EPA now has $100 million, $100 million to implement various programs. So I don't know what those programs will be. What was indicated on yesterday's call was that EPA was in the process of putting together a spending plan that has to be reviewed by Congress, which all federal agencies have to do. Once they get appropriations, they have to put together a spending plan for Congress to be approved by Congress as to how those funds will be spent and how they will go out the door. But I'm very, very clear about something now is the Justice 40 initiative. And in listening to the gentleman who was just talking about that initiative, Matthew, and his last name is spelled, he's Native American, J-E-J-A-D-A, works here in Washington, D.C., he indicated that the Justice 40 initiative from the White House does not provide any money for the African-American community and other communities of color. It says that 40% of the benefits of the programs that come from these federal agencies must benefit those targeted communities. So what it says is no, there isn't a carve out for the African-American community to receive any dollars to combat climate change. So if you want to know where's the Green Economic Development Plan in the implementation of the Biden Infrastructure Plan in terms of dollar investment in our institutions, whether it be our HBCUs, our private businesses, our homeowners, our commercial business owners, whatever, ain't nothing on the table. This is made clear to me today, ladies and gentlemen. That is why I played this segment of this February 2022 EPA Community Engagement Call. Because everybody keeps talking about the Justice 40 initiative for communities of color. It doesn't mean a damn thing. if there's no carve outs or any targeted dollars, specific communities that have suffered disproportionately because of the private sector building these large manufacturing power facilities that are engaged in the process of manufacturing in this country, the industrial manufacturing base in this country. It's a multi-trillion dollar industry. We know this. So I guess as we see in the Ukraine situation where African students, 16,000 who were in Ukraine, their lives were less valuable than those of the European Ukrainians, so they had to take the back of the bus if they could get on the bus at all. We are put in that same position under the Biden administration, and we know we ain't got nothing coming messing with COVID-45 and his crew, which was known as Donald Trump's administration, which was a disaster and a disgrace. So with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I think we brought to you a very, very exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And what we're saying to folks is, look, we're here every week. We don't want you to meet us here. We want you to beat us here. We didn't get around to looking at EDA's impact on news from the Economic Development Administration. You'll be able to find that article. I think it's some good information there. The National Association of Blacks at Solar, we were successful in building a national team and working with Tougaloo College out of Jackson, Mississippi. We were one of the applicants in the Good Jobs Challenge. There are 509 applications. We need to advocate on behalf of Tougaloo to get this funding because it will be the first funding of its source that will be working to train 750 young people in becoming solar installers in the PV industry, and this will be a national program that we've pulled together for workforce development training, and I'm very proud of that effort that we've been able to accomplish, because believe me, we had to invest dollars because grant writers aren't free, and these are the things and discussions that aren't being had when you apply for these grants. If the government's not going to provide any funding or carve-outs for our businesses, then we got to compete and so-called apply with la-di-da-di and everybody, but it's our communities are catching the most hell. So, ladies and gentlemen, I ain't making this up. This is the realities that we find ourselves in as African-Americans here in the U.S. as we look at the renewable energy industry today in its present form. You have to listen to people. You have to listen to people to really understand what they're saying to you. And with that, we say, we don't want you to meet us back here. We want you to beat us back here. As we close, we are closing another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. Until next week, we say go in peace. Someone saying